fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends, and welcome to Fire on the Earth. I want to continue today to talk about trusting God and living by faith, which began the week both with Sunday's reading, which I haven't circled back to talk about yet. I hope to do that today. But also the beautiful story of Abraham, who is our father in faith. Great reflection for this season of Lent, to really reflect on the life of Abraham and what St. Paul highlights about him, because he literally is our father in faith. Scripture is clear that God was not afraid to call Abraham his friend. Lent is a time for us to step deeper into friendship with Christ, friendship with God, surrender, living like children of God who are children of a loving father who's completely trustworthy. That's a battle for us. That's a struggle for a fallen human nature, for hearts wounded by sin, living in a world that's not paying much attention to God, battling against the world, the flesh, and the devil. This is real. And the one thing the devil doesn't want us to come to understand and into a lived realization of is the reality that we are God's children and that we're loved by God. And despite our mistakes, despite the things that the sins or things that we do in life that are so difficult to be able to live with, God every day is there loving us unconditionally. And Abraham helps us understand that. Abraham teaches us how to live in relationship with God in a way that pleases God. It pleases God for us to trust him because it means we are beginning to love him. We're beginning to respond to his invitation. We're recognizing his nature and who he is. And that's what we're made for. So that's why it really pleases God. And so the passage I ended with yesterday, it was Romans chapter 4, verse 20 and following, says, talking about Abraham, that no distrust made him waver concerning the promises of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. That's where I left off yesterday. And the real question is, it's one thing to believe that God exists. It's another thing to trust the God who has revealed himself and that he's able to save us. He's able to not only save us ultimately for eternal life through Jesus, but also in this life, he's able to help us overcome and to pass through the difficulties that all of us at one time or another have to face in life. Real, sometimes tragedies or tremendous burdens that we're carrying. There's a decision we each need to make when we're living in that kind of a situation. Am I going to live with trust in God in the midst of this, knowing he's not going to allow me to have to bear something that's beyond my strength without his help? Or are we going to just say, because I'm experiencing these difficulties, God must not exist? If God exists, he doesn't love me, doesn't really care about me. He cares about those folks over there who always seem like their life works great for them, but life doesn't always work great for me. And as a result, he somehow dealt me a bad hand, and I don't think he's trustworthy. That's the battle that goes on within the human heart. The passage goes on, in verse 22, it says, that is why his faith was reckoned to him as righteousness. How do we come, part of what's being talked about here is, how do we come into right relationship with God? How are we saved? To be saved means to come into right relationship with God and to respond to God's offer of reuniting us to him and making us his sons and daughters. It's not, Paul will say, it's not by my work. I don't make it happen. But the doorway, the starting point, is this faith, this response to God in trust, because God extends his hand to save us. And we reach up. The question is, are we going to reach up and take that hand? Are we going to entrust ourselves to him? Are we going to follow his call and his promises? And so this is what pleases God, and this is what was reckoned as righteousness for Abraham. That is, Abraham was put into right relationship with God in his abandonment in trust to God and God's promise and plan for him. And then verse 23 says, but the words, it was reckoned to him, were written not for his sake alone, but for us, for ours also. Paul's trying to then now make a parallel. He's trying to teach us that this posture of faith toward God, this living trust of the surrender and abandonment of our whole heart, soul, mind, and strength to Him, though it began with Abraham as the model, gets perfected in the person of Jesus Christ, and the offer of salvation comes to us through Jesus, and the help of the Holy Spirit makes it possible for us to surrender like Abraham did. And that faith is counted to us as righteousness. That faith is the beginning of being put in right relationship with God for you and for me. It said, it will be reckoned to us who believe in Him that raised from the dead Jesus our Lord. So as it was reckoned to Abraham, that Abraham was put in right relationship with God, so with us, as we trust. So this is important to see because for some people, faith is a kind of academic endeavor, that it's a matter of knowing certain truths or prayers or things in the mind. And it's more than that. This is why Abraham is the persistent model for us, or one of the key models for us, is it's all about relationship. It's not just about acquiring information and holding information in our head over time. It's a matter of understanding what's being revealed in that truth, but also then surrendering ourselves to a person, to the person of Jesus Christ, and actually entering into a relationship with God, with the communion of others that God is gathering in the church. Brothers and sisters, men and women who have become sons and daughters of God, just like all those who are born again by water and the Spirit. And Paul is saying here very clearly that those who believe in the God who raised Jesus from the dead, Jesus our Lord, who, verse 25, he goes on to say, who was put to death for our trespasses and raised for our justification. In that one sentence, in verse 25, we get maybe the shortest summary in the entire New Testament of what's called the kerygma, the basic core announcement or declaration, proclamation of who Jesus is and what God did in Jesus for the sake of our salvation. This is what Father Raniero Cantalamessa called the germ cell of the church's life, the preaching, because faith comes through hearing, and what's heard is the word of God. So we want to live that life of faith. We enter into a relationship with God through faith and trusting and surrendering in Him. And Paul reminds us that faith comes through hearing. And what we hear is this truth about Jesus. And so for the Christian, that initial faith is surrendering to the proclamation, the declaration that Jesus was, in Paul's words here, He was put to death for our trespasses, and He was raised for our justification. This is really what Jesus came to do. This is what Christianity is all about, why Jesus alone is the Lord, as Paul refers to Him here. He was put to death. Why was He put to death? For our sins. Jesus made it very clear. He came to become a sacrifice for sin. He died for our sins. Jesus came to deal with the sin problem. So faith is acknowledging Jesus' diagnosis of our human condition, that we were born into original sin, that we're born separated from God, that there's a dimension of our life in the depths of our heart where we resist God, we resist the will of God. We're literally trapped in this battle against the world, the flesh, and the devil, and we do not have the capacity on our own to lift ourselves out of this condition of being separated from God and making it all happen on our own resources. Doesn't matter how far we can fly into the universe, whether we can land on Mars or far beyond, we simply cannot unite ourselves to God by our own strength, by our own resources. What we needed was for the Son of God to come and deal with the sin problem that separates us from God. And so He died. He became a sacrifice for our sins. His blood was shed as an offering, and He offered His life to God on our behalf. And that the shedding of His blood purified us, St. Paul tells us, and purified our consciences from sin. So He was put to death for our trespasses, but He was raised for our justification. So at the heart of what we believe, what St. Augustine said, you know, Christianity is the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Christianity is the new life. It's the new creation. It's the new humanity born in the person of Jesus Christ. So He was raised for our justification. Justification is to have justice has been done to God on our behalf in the person of Jesus Christ. He died the death I was destined to die. He experienced the judgment that was to be upon me for my sin. And another way of looking at justification in Paul is that justification is life. He was raised so that I can be united to God and be given a share in God's life. I mean, Jesus said time and time again, I'm the light of the world. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. He who comes to me will not die, but will have everlasting life. Jesus spoke a lot about life, and the life he's talking about is the life that was in him, and that life that alone could make us children of God. How we become children of God is we're cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ from our sin, and cleansed so that God, the Holy God, could come and dwell in us, so that he could really, literally, make it possible for us to be born again, to be born into the family of God, to be literally the children of God. This is part of the justification process. We're made right with God, and to be made right with God is to literally share in the life that belongs to God. That's a beautiful and amazing truth about what Jesus brings about for us and for our sake. Paul touches on this a little bit in the reading that we had this past Sunday at Mass, where this theme of faith is articulated beautifully from Romans chapter 5, which is the next chapter following the one here we're talking about Abraham. So I want to just read a section from that. We have just a couple of minutes. It says, brothers and sisters, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith to this grace in which we stand, and we boast in the hope of the glory of God. It's another just simple set of verses that are just packed with life-changing truth. Since we have been justified by faith, we have been made just. We've been put in right relationship to God. We now are children of God. And how did that happen? We surrendered our hearts and minds, surrendered my heart, my mind, to the person of Jesus Christ, to the revelation and the gift of his salvation that comes to us. And we're united to that reality in baptism, where we're given a share in Christ's life in the power of the Holy Spirit. So as John tells us, we're born again by water and the Spirit. Baptism is not just a symbol, it's not just a sign. It's a sign that points to a deep reality, and that is we literally have stain of original sin removed from our lives, and we have the life of Christ being given to us. And that's the beginning of salvation. That's really the work of salvation. God in Christ in you, the hope of glory, Paul will say at another point. He says, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. There it is. Only Jesus can bring peace between fallen human nature and God. He's the go-between. He's the bridge. He's the one who makes it happen. We don't have too much time left today. I want to take up the rest of this passage tomorrow. I encourage you to ask your friends to tune into the program. I think this is really helpful stuff as we walk through Lent to get what's at the core of the whole experience of Lent and its purpose. And I want to encourage you as well to go ahead and order the free booklet that I'm offering, Light in the Darkness. It speaks right into some of this truth about who Jesus is. I think you'll find it very encouraging. God bless you. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Light in the Darkness. We're living in difficult, unsettling, and even dark times. We're engaged in a spiritual battle that is intensifying. I wrote this short booklet to help you understand the nature of the battle we're facing and help you lay hold of God's abundant grace for you in these challenging times. If you'd like a free copy of my new booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.